The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel text, which we have today, comes from the book of Matthew. And it's very clear when scholars look at this that it is not precisely what Jesus said. As you know, the gospels were written 40, 50 years after the time of Jesus. So Jesus died about the year 30. And nothing was written for 30 or 40 years because the followers of Jesus thought the end of the world was coming, and therefore there was no need to write anything. And about a generation later, 30 or 40 years, they began to wonder, perhaps the end of the world is not coming, and therefore they began to write what we call the New Testament in the environment in which they lived. And therefore it's colored and it's nuanced according to the time in which it was shaped. Now it's very clear that in the Hebrew tradition there was an extraordinary reverence for parents, and the Torah makes it very clear about the manner in which parents had to be honored. Therefore, the notion that you have to love parents less than loving Jesus would be somewhat a variance from the mandates of the Torah. Therefore, it has to be interpreted. We have to take the context in which it was written, a time of persecution, a time of great upheaval, and lift the message and find a meaning for the message in the world of today. And clear the message in the time of Matthew, when this was shaped, was you have to leave something behind. You must separate yourself somehow in order to find the meaning of life in Jesus Christ. So I want to look at that, how we find an incarnation of this in the present age, in our lives. Now, in our time, in this day and age, we live in a very toxic environment. There is severe division among our people. We are prisoners of the instant. Breaking news. We have to watch breaking news. And every few minutes, there's breaking news. And commentators are now wondering if the truth really matters anymore. We have grave issues, yet somehow, too often, we're distracted by trivial pursuits, sideshows that would be unbecoming of an adolescent. It's a distraction. It leads us away from the deep and profound issues that need attention. And it leads us away from a reflection on what is deeply and profoundly touching each and every one of us in our souls. And yet the harvest we sow is the harvest we reap. There's a hunger in the soul of each of us, which is frequently disguised or suffocated by the things which happen around us today. Now, in the month of June, just passed, I had 2 weeks of retreat. The first week, I preached a retreat to a group of priests. And even though I had two conferences to give each day for the week, I had plenty of time to be alone and to reflect and to walk and not to be rushed and to look deeper into my life. And last week, I was on retreat as a retreatant, which gives me even more time to begin to reflect on the meaning of life. The hungers of the soul, on Simone Weil, gave us this caution. She said, the danger is not lest the soul should doubt whether there is any bread, but lest by a lie it should persuade itself it is not hungry. That we overlook the hungers of the soul by the distractions of the moment. John O'Donohue writes this way, and it applies to the present age. He said, we lived in a changed time. Something is broken. The natural ease and trust in the world has been damaged. Many of the great ideals in politics, in religion, and in leadership have been tarnished. Now we need to rediscover for ourselves where the true sources of light, creativity, compassion, serenity, and hope are hidden. Now is the time to gather ourselves, to take back the power which we have given away so easily, so cheaply, to outside voices that neither know us, love us, or represent us. We need to heal our listening so that we come to hear the music of life within our souls. Now, Thoreau had this in mind when he went to Walden, and he said, I went out to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I come to die, discover that I had not lived. He was seeking an experience that would touch the soul. There was an Irish mystic poet who died last year, and he was just an ordinary person in County Kerry in Ireland. But he was highly recognized as a person of deep and profound spirituality. And in the seasons, the light, darkness, and the changing of seasons in the Irish context, he wrote this, clear mornings bring the mountains to my doorstep. Calm nights give the rivers their say. Some evenings the wind puts its hand on my shoulders. I stop thinking. I leave what I'm doing, and I go the soul's way. It is here that we come home to God. We have this deep hunger inside of us that we suffocate or we deny, and it can only be nurtured in a place of silence. There are moments that you can't plan, you can't anticipate, but if you're disposed, you can recognize the visitation of the God and how your spirit is fed. give you a simple example. On Friday, I was coming out of a Wells Fargo bank over here on Fair Oaks. And there was a man there. He looked like he was homeless. He was an elderly fellow with a beard, short man, and he had a shopping cart. Now, I got the impression the shopping cart was to stabilize his walking. And he said to me, "Can you give me something to buy lunch?" I thought he was pretty clever to stand outside a bank, because either you're bringing money out of the bank or you're putting money in the bank. But the bank is a good place to stop. So I thought that was pretty nice. So I went over to him and I said, "Well, what's your name?" And he said, "Horace." I said, "Sure, Horace, I would love to give you something for lunch." So I gave him a small donation for lunch. And I said, "Now, keep a prayer for me, Horace." And he said, "I want to pray over you right now." "Okay, what's your name?" And I said, "My name is Clem." And he says, "Okay, stand right there." And this wonderful man put his hands over me and he prayed over me. He prayed that Jesus would strengthen my faith. He prayed that Jesus would lead me in my life. Prayed that Jesus would give me meaning. And it was a long prayer, went on for about 3 minutes. And halfway through it, I said, "Amen," figuring it was over, but it wasn't over. He kept going. And I said, "Amen," a few times, but he kept going. But it was a beautiful moment, see. You can't anticipate this. You just have to have time. You must have time to stop. You must have time to listen, to feel, to sense, to recognize the moment, the visitation of God that touches your spirit. Tell me, we're into summertime. You'll all go to the beach sometime. When last, my friend, did you sit in the evening, when the fever of the day is over, and sit on the beach by yourself, look into the heavens, and all you can hear is the breaking of the waves, and say, "Wow, the wonder of God in creation." When last did you do that? When last did you walk in the garden and say, "There is beauty here"? Walk in the woods and see the presence of God. Anthony de Mello used to say, "If you see a tree and you see only a tree, you haven't seen. But if when you see a tree, you see the wonder of God's creation, only then have you seen. And when you hear the birds sing, if you hear only the birds sing, you haven't heard. But if when you hear the birds sing, you hear the voice of God, only then have you heard." That's the language of the soul. And that's what the gospel really means. It means you have to find a space. When last did you look in the face of a child and stop and see the face of God? That's prayer. That's God revealing. That's God present. And with breaking news and all our distractions, and all of the things that consume us, and the conflicts and divisions, and the arrogance of certainty, somehow we've lost touch with the hungers of the soul. Amen.